This is Dave Gehary on the corner of Wall and Fraud. The public's awareness of the Wall Street mechanism is bluntly abysmal. The fault lies not only with the investing public and their refusal to get educated about Wall Street's business practices, but with the street itself, whose concerted and long-running effort to dummy down financial news has created successive generations of almost clueless individual investors. In fact, financial news reporting has barely evolved in the modern era. All one need do is visit your local library and scan a Wall Street Journal microfiche from, let's say, 75 years ago to verify this. If you asked your average investor about stock investing, about 99% of them would only be aware of going long or purchasing a stock in the hopes that it will rise. This 99% figure is based upon an actual study, incidentally. Very few are aware, thanks in great part to Wall Street and their financial news reporting media arm, that an investor has the ability to sell the stock first. A stock he or she does not even own. My guest is, arguably, the most renowned and reviled by the street practitioner of this mysterious trading and investing strategy. He is a short seller, a man who bets against a stock's rise. In effect, he is a necessary check to Wall Street's ruthless selling machine. He is New York-based short seller Manuel P. Asensio. Manu, thanks for joining us today.
Good morning, Dave. Thanks for having me.
Let's start with the basics. Help our audience to understand what short selling is, when it can be used, and why it is a vital part of stock investing.
Well, Dave, let's get away from the technical discussion of the mechanisms of borrowing a stock and having to sell it short, and then it goes down, you buy it back, and you give it back to whomever you borrowed it from, and which creates a profit or a loss, depending on, because you sell it first before you buy it, so you just like any other kind of purchase or sale, you're trying to make a spread, but in this case, you're inverting the process.
Right.
Let's look at it as what it really is. What it is an advocating the investor interest. We're branded as short sellers by the regulators, which you didn't add to your criticism of why Wall Street is in the mess it's in. But it's not just the media, and it's not just the stock promoters, but it's also the regulators that are controlled, as is the media, by the powerful stock promoters. And short sellers are simply advocates. We look at a stock, we say it's too high, and we're telling the investors, stay away from it. It's too high. Why buy this stock here? Why don't you wait for it to go down? We're short the stock. We believe it's going to go down, and perhaps you shouldn't take your cash and put it into this market, which is too high.
So now might be a good time when someone might use one of these strategies, you're saying?
It's always a good time to sell stocks short. There's no reason for investors to only think about being long. A legitimate, serious, thoughtful investor must always be short and long.
Right. So, in effect, what you're saying is that if your average individual investor would turn on CNBC or one of the other financial quote-unquote news stations, there might be an analyst hyping a stock or pumping it, saying this is a great time to buy. There are very few people who are saying this is a great time to sell the stock, a stock you don't own. Is that what you're saying?
Of course. You don't hear the financial media calling Dick Grasso, the chairman of the New York Stock Exchange, a stock promoter. But in fact, that's his business, and he's a very well-paid stock promoter. You don't hear the media talk about an investment banker as a stock promoter, a commission salesman. But in fact, that is what they are. It's that cloaking the process with some sort of extra legitimacy and sophistication that the public can't be aware of because these people are professionals, that creates the illusion that they shouldn't be questioned or criticized.
Right.
Investment advocates, which are labeled as short sellers by Wall Street, we do criticize it. We look at these things and go, that is preposterous, and that's just a scheme to take money to motivate investors to take their cash and put it into stocks. And perhaps it's not the best time. Just keep your cash and wait for this stock to go down if you really, really want it. But just listen to our opinions. And, of course, our opinions are a source of great... neither our opinions nor our writings are available to the general public because they're not protected speech and they're not protected from antitrust anti-fraud legislation that other investors and other traders are. In other words, there are biases in the regulatory system, very large, important, significant biases that create a barrier for people such as us, investment advocates, to speak to the public.
Right. So in other words, someone turns on CNBC and there's a particular person on promoting a stock. You might look at this report and you might say, you know what? I think this stock and this matter here is fraudulent or deceptive. And you might do some research to uncover the deception, which is, I take that right from your book, Sold Short. And you publicize your research right on your website. Is that correct?
Right.
So anyone who is interested in finding out the other side of a stock, not the rosy side, the negative, let's say, side of it, although it definitely could be considered realistic, the realistic side of a stock, could visit Ascensio.com and take a look at your research reports for free?
Yeah, we're very careful as to what we put on the Internet. We only put in things that we're advocating because we have a great deal of conviction and certainty. But of course, we short stocks on a daily basis and don't put them on the Internet site. The Internet site is something that is public. It's not for a fee. And we think it educates investors about the short side, gives them a chance to advocate the short side or the investor advocate side to the SEC and Congress and the Senate. And also allows them, if they want, to read about things that we're currently involved in or things that we have been involved with in hopes that they can educate themselves.
Right. So you run your website to educate the public?
We run our website to advocate, first of all, our positions. And that's important. We have a right to do it. Just like when you call a company and they're advocating how much money they're going to make or how their sales are going to go up and promoting themselves and Wall Street promotes the things that they're interested in. There's absolutely nothing wrong with a short seller promoting a short.
Right.
Now, he gets a lot of flack because there's no one else among the shorts that does that. So you're in a stock and you're promoting the short position. You're going up against the Wall Street Journal.
Right.
And you're going up against the regulators who have a customer in that public company.
Right. So you're in effect fighting against Wall Street's cheerleaders.
And the regulators that pay the fees that allow them to be in business.
Right, absolutely. I think it's pretty well established that the regulators are deeply involved in Wall Street's business practices. You actually have been in the Wall Street Journal about 27 times, almost 30 articles have been written about you or you have been in the article. And one of them in particular was in regards to Solomon Smith Barney telecom analyst Jack Grubman, who has been in the news over the past couple of months, where he was probably the highest paid analyst in Wall Street, making between $20 and $25 million a year for hyping stocks that nearly bankrupt stocks. Now, there was one, Winstar. Is that the one that you came out against? And Grubman came at you like a pit bull.
But it should be told, David, that the Wall Street Journal had all the information about Jack Grubman and had all the information about WorldCom and had all the information about Winstar before those companies went public. before those companies went down. I mean, we went public with those things on our own internet site, and they're there, and they're on other media that did cover it. But they're not on the Wall Street Journal, because the Wall Street Journal was not interested in listening to criticisms about Jack Grubman when Jack Grubman was the star that the Wall Street Journal created.
Right. So what you're saying is that, in effect, there's some kind of a conspiracy between Wall Street investment bankers, the regulators, and the media?
It's not a conspiracy. It is the status quo, and investors, you know, are hurt by that. The status quo could easily change if all of America was to, as you started the show, learn a little bit more about their system and realize that, hey, I have a vested interest in fairness in markets. I'm not a stock promoter. I'm not a stock analyst that's out hyping my stocks. I'm just trying to create legitimate, long-term, positive returns for my investments and for my savings. So perhaps it's good to have investor advocates that have freedom of speech, that have freedom to trade, and that have freedom to operate without harassment from regulators. Those are all good things, not bad things, and have access to information from public companies, because investor advocates such as myself, we can't call companies. What company is going to call someone that's interested in debunking their promotion?
Right, or debunking.
Debunking.
Right. And you're certainly not without your share of detractors. There are even websites that I was just recently made aware of that attempt to shed more light on who you are and what you're doing. Are you aware of those?
Well, not shed more light, but just as stock promoters don't tell the truth about their companies, which is what makes their stocks go up, they're also not telling the truth about our work. But our work, of course, stands on its own, and it's been proven very successful. So I don't have any problems with people criticizing Ascensia and company's work. Our work speaks for itself.
Right. So short selling is a profitable business, isn't it?
Well, short sell, like anything else.
The way you do it. The way you do it. I mean, you make quite a bit of money, don't you?
Well, but yeah, I do. But mind you, we also are good investors on the long side. I mean, we get all the press on the short side or
right.
the investor advocacy side. But we work hard. I'm 48 years old, and I've been studying the markets since I was a baby. I mean, I went to Wharton and Harvard. It's my profession. So
right.
because I'm a profitable short seller, I am a profitable investor.
Right, but. Concentrating just on the short selling for the purpose of educating our audience. I mean, there is a lot of money to be made in short selling, isn't there?
There is a tremendous amount of money to be made as a careful, astute, conservative, cautious investor on the long or short side. There was a wonderful opportunity to make money on the short side when the markets were very, very high.
And you still think that they are very, very high?
They could be very, very high, but right now we're at, some people believe that the markets are overly optimistic. There is a tremendous amount of work being done by government in monetary and fiscal policy to try to stimulate the economy. It hasn't worked yet, which is a great cause of concern, and it could create inflation, which is another great cause of concern. So the debate now has become, at this level, more questionably overvalued. I have an opinion, and that opinion is that the markets are still overvalued, that people are still too quick to buy stocks on good news and any good news about the economy. But we'll see. I mean, it's not like it was when NASDAQ was at 5,000, right?
Right, yeah, thank God. Now, you wrote a book in 2001 called Sold Short, Uncovering Deception in the Markets. How is that going? Was that well received?
Well, John Wiley is the publisher. You'd have to speak to them. I think the book sold out its first edition. We're in the process of formulating a new book proposal for a second book with perhaps a different publisher that can reach a wider audience
right.
than John Wiley, that is more a trade book publisher.
Right, I know.
As far as a trade book, it's established itself as as one of the best selling books on short selling, And most of the sales come directly from the internet sites that
right.
sell books, including Amazon.
Well, let me ask you this. First of all, let me say to the audience that what you do, short selling, and going long and going short, is exactly the same thing that any Wall Street professional does. That's correct, isn't it?
Yep.
Okay. So what you do, you simply highlight short selling and highlight the negative or the realistic sides of stock promotion, whereas Wall Street's hype machine would never in a million years talk about the realistic or negative side of a particular stock or a product.
Well, we're contrarian investors. Why don't we just look at, just mention it that we're opposed to view. We've opposed the view on the short, on the short side too. I mean, people were short Coca-Cola when we first, when we wrote our first report, it was we went long Coca-Cola when everyone was short Coca-Cola. When they were talking about how bad Coca-Cola was in Barron's Roundtable.
Right.
So, you know, you have to keep an open mind. It's contrarian opinion is contrarian opinion. When that contrarian opinion is counter to the powers that are promoting a stock, that's when it has to be most protected.
I see. So what would you tell our audience in closing? Anything. What do you want to tell them? I mean,
I think the most important thing for America's capital systems, which is at the heart of our capital system, is to be open and to eliminate the restrictions on short selling that regulators have put in after being lobbied by Wall Street. They must change, and if they change, our prices will be fairer and our country will be better.
Manuel Piacencio, New York-based short seller, thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you, David.